turning your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll look at verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this, another opportunity that you have given us to come together and to hear a word from you. Lord, your presence is what we desire today. We need to hear a word from you. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say to us today. And when we leave this place, we will not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Hallelujah. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. I'll just read one verse in your hearing today. The Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about encouraging yourself in the Lord, in the Lord. On last week, I spoke very briefly about the importance of being surrounded with people of faith. You need people who you are connected to, who have learned how to walk by faith and not by sight. That they don't live based upon what they see, but they live based upon what they know concerning the promises of God. I also added the fact that we have to acknowledge that we cannot do this thing alone. You cannot walk this journey with God for the long haul by yourself. But you need to be connected with somebody who knows who God is. You need somebody to walk with you when life gets tough and you're facing challenges. You need somebody to walk with you and say to you the word of God in your times of difficulty. So it's good to connect with somebody who studies the word of God so that they'll know what to tell you when you get in trouble and it looks like you're not coming out. They can remind you of the promises of God. They can keep you focused on what God can do and tell you that God is faithful and he won't leave you and he'll be by your side. Sometimes you need somebody to get down in the trenches of life with you and fight the battle with you. You need somebody that will hurt when you hurt and celebrate when you celebrate. You need somebody that when you lose something or somebody, they will stand right by your side and cry right along with you. Not tell you stop crying. Don't be a baby, but they cry when you cry. And when you host a party, they're the first one there with bells on to celebrate. We made it through that one. You need somebody with you that can be in the good times and the bad times. Oh, yes. You also need somebody who is with you who doesn't want anything from you. All they want is to see you make it. They just want to see you succeed. They don't want your money. They're not riding your coattail. They're not trying to be where you are. They just want to see you make it. You need somebody who is there to encourage you. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says that we are to encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He gives us the holy responsibility that we have as believers and as members of the body of Christ and the family of God. We have a responsibility to encourage each other and hold each other up. We ought to be encouragers, not discouragers. Not, I told you that was going to happen. Not, why'd you go that way? Why'd you do it like that? I warned you not to go down that road. No, we ought to be encouragers, and we ought to build each other up. You ought to see your brother when he is facing difficulty and challenges, and instead of wondering, how did you get there, you should be asking him, how can I help you? How can I encourage you through this season in your life? You have to be careful who you have surrounding you. That being said, in the context of the scripture that we read, sometimes even when you purposefully surround yourself with people who are good at encouraging you, sometimes you experience some things where you have to encourage yourself. Where even if they mean well, even if they want to help you, sometimes their words are not enough. So you have to figure out how to encourage yourself. In David's situation, the people who were fighting with him turned on him and started to fight against him. And what do you do when the people you trust, when the people you've shared your life with, when the people you have told your secrets to, what do you do when the people who used to encourage you pick up stones to kill you? They used to come to help you to make it. Now they come to stop you from making it. What do you do when those who are to encourage you no longer encourage you? That's what we see in the context of this scripture this morning. David was surrounded by some mighty warriors, and they had gone out to do the business of the kingdom, and they had been successful. They were so successful that even their friends, even their allies, did not want to fight with them because they were afraid that at some point during the battle, David might change his mind about them and attack them. So the Philistines said, no, David, you go fight by yourself. You're not going to partner with us because we know you are so strong that if you decide all of a sudden that we are your adversary, you'll take us out. So you go ahead on your own by yourself. So that's what David was doing. Then he gets back home. He and his men get back home in this text and find that their adversary had gone into their hometown, destroyed their town, and took all of their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Imagine the devastation of going out doing your job, and you come home and found out that your house has been purposefully burnt down, and your wife and your children, your family have been kidnapped. This is what happened to David and his men when they got home. They found out everybody was gone and everything was destroyed. And the Bible says that they begin to weep. They begin to cry. The Bible says they cried so much that they could not cry anymore. Anybody ever been in the situation where you've cried so much you said, God, I don't have another tear to cry. I done cried. I tried to cry and won't nothing come out. I've cried too much over this. I have cried till I am weak. And even when I want to cry, there are no more tears to cry over this situation. My tears have dried up. So the Bible says they cried. Then when they got finished crying, they looked at David and they blamed him for it. Oh yeah, and that's what happens when things go wrong. When it's good, we're good. But then when bad things happen, human nature looks for somebody to blame. Oh yeah, you try to find, it has to be somebody's fault because we were doing good. And now all of a sudden we've experienced devastation. So you look for somebody to, to blame. And can I tell you how we do it? Usually it's the person closest to us. Oh, yeah. The enemy did it, but we blame mama. The enemy did it, but we blame our spouse. And it's unfortunate. You'll see it all the time when couples are together and they lose a child or have a child who was going through some really traumatic experience or some illness. Unfortunately, a lot of those couples end in divorce. Why? Because there got to be a reason that we lost our child, and they start blaming each other. I told him that he couldn't go to the party. You said he should go, and now he's not here. You didn't follow the prescription bottle. You gave him more medication. Now our child is sick. It's your fault. We look for somebody to blame. And that is what happened to David. The men looked at David, blamed him for it, and they decided that they were going to stone him. Said, we got to take David out. David is the reason that we are in this situation. But look at the Bible, what the Bible says. Now, understand this, and I'll make a couple of points and we'll be done. David was in the same situation as they were. When David got home, all of his stuff was gone. His wives were gone and his children were gone. So he was dealing with his own loss. And then the people who he expected to help him through turned on him because of their own loss. I tell you, grief is a dangerous thing because it will cause you to turn on people who are there to support you and encourage you. You got to be careful when you point the blame. Here it is. David is going through the same thing, the same loss, and yet the people who he was their champion yesterday, and now he's their villain. Oh, you got to watch out. People will turn on you in a minute. You could be their hero one day, and then the next day they'll decide they want to kill you. You could be the best thing since sliced bread on one day, and the next day they're picking up stones to kill you. So David did what all of us needed to learn how to do. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Like many of you, I've experienced some difficult days in my life. I've had some high highs and some low lows. I've experienced devastation and loss. But one thing that I've had to do, and we all are going to have to take this journey and learn how to do this, I've had to learn how to encourage myself in the Lord. Because sometimes you are surrounded by people who are encouraging and supportive and hold you up and build you up and tell you you can make it. But then sometimes you're going through something and ain't nobody saying nothing. They don't have a positive thing to say about you. So you have to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. So what I would like to do is share with you the three things that I do to encourage myself in the Lord. Because I can't make any promises. I'm not like those who make promises about what 2018 is going to be. I don't have a crystal ball and I don't read tea leaves. The only thing I can tell you is that God is still going to be God. And if you're going to make it through, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to encourage yourself. So there's three things I do to encourage myself. First thing I do is rehearse what God has promised. You got to rehearse what God has promised. God has made so many precious promises to us, and they fit every situation that we're going through. You cannot go through something that God has not already spoken about in his word. There is a promise that applies to every situation that we could ever face in life. The challenge is that many of us don't know what God has promised. And I encourage you to do yourself a favor. If you don't study anything else this year, study the promises of God. Hallelujah. Fill your mind up. Fill your spirit up with the promises of God. Because God is faithful to his promise. There are two promises that God has made that are the foundation for my soul. And I go to these promises in every situation. And I have not met a situation that this promise was not able to encourage me and pull me through. The first promise is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And here is what he says. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah to God. That's a promise right there. Hallelujah. This tells me that no matter what I'm going through, wherever I am, whatever I am facing, God has promised that he will be with me. Hallelujah. God is with me. He said, I will never leave you. Not only will I never leave you, but I won't forsake you. That means I won't abandon you. Can I help you out here? You know, some people can say, I will be with you. I'll be by your side. But in their heart and in their mind, they have abandoned you. But God says, no, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will never abandon you, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how long it takes. He makes us this promise that he will never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And here's what I know. We can go through anything if God is with us. We can face anything as long as God is by our side. Can I tell you, sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody who is going through a difficult situation is just to be there. Hear what I'm saying. Sometimes we make the mistake of going to people who are in crisis and we try to tell them why this is happening and what God is doing and you need to do this and you need to do that. Sometimes the best thing you can tell somebody is, I'm with you. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm with you. I'm going to be with you all the way through this. That's what God says. The second promise that I always lean on, that I rehearse in my mind whenever I'm facing difficulty, is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I probably say this every Sunday. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. So not only do I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me, but he promised he has a purpose for everything I'm going through and is all working together for the good. May not feel good, may not look good, but I know what God said. He said, and we know. Hallelujah. There's got to be some things you just have to know. Hallelujah. You just have to know that it's all working together for my good. So I'm encouraged when I rehearse the promises of God. Second thing I do to encourage myself in the Lord is I remember what he's already done. Oh, you have to remember what he's already done, because that's the evidence that his promises are true. Because he just doesn't make a promise, but he actually performs what he says he's going to do. Lamentations 3, verse 21, Jeremiah said, this I recall to my mind. Or you got to recall it to your mind. Memory is the greatest source of hope. Discouragement comes when we forget. So the writer says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Hallelujah. That's why the adversary don't want you to remember. Because if you can remember what God has already done, then that will give you hope. Hope is expectation. Memory says God did it for me in the past. Hope says I expect him to do it in the future. Hallelujah. You got to remember what he's already done. Listen, God is so consistently good to us that is easy to forget how good he is to us. He does so many things for us on a daily basis, things we don't even know about. That's why the old folks used to say, God, I thank you for keeping me from danger seen and unseen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that there is nothing unseen with God? Hallelujah. But he sees all, and he's so consistently good to us that sometimes it's easy to forget what he's done for us. Husbands, if you have a good wife, she's so consistently good that it's easy to take her for granted. Let's be honest. If you have a good wife, she does things around the house that you don't even think about. Oh, y'all quiet now, huh? Huh? If she's a good wife, she takes care of things that you don't even know are a problem. And you don't realize that they are a problem until she starts feeling unappreciated and stop doing stuff. I know, honey. I'm sorry. You ain't heard nothing else I said. You don't realize how much she does until you go to brush your teeth and there's no more toothpaste there. Then all of a sudden you try to remember, when's the last time you actually bought toothpaste? It's been years. But yet, that's how it can be with God. God is so consistently good to us and taking care of us in ways that we don't even think about. And it's easy to take him for granted. It's easy to get into a situation and start complaining about what's not happening. And we forget all that he has done for us in the past. So you got to remind yourself. That's why one songwriter said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Sometimes you have to write down your blessings. You have to write down all the times that God has brought you out. Listen, this is not the first time you've been in trouble. This is not the first time you've been sick. This is not the first time you've had financial problems. This is not the first time you faced difficulty in your life. You have to write down all the times in the past that God has been there for you and delivered you, and tell yourself that the same God who brought you out before is the same God that will bring you out in the future. This thing you're going through right now is not too hard for God. And for some of us, we've been through worse than this before. Am I in the right house this morning? You've had it worse than this, but the devil wants you to forget that it was a lot worse. God has brought you through a lot more than what you're going through right now. Oh, yes. You got to remind yourself of what God has done. To encourage yourself in the Lord, you have to rehearse his promise. Remind yourself of what he's already done. Then the last thing I do is I write a new song. Write a new song. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine. That's not what we do when we get in trouble, saints. He says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to yourself, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Can I tell you, a song, the right song, can carry you through some difficult situations. You get the right song, a song that you can sing at midnight when everything is falling apart. The right song, hallelujah. You'll be surprised, hallelujah, how a right song can carry you through. I remember when I was in the hospital having my bone marrow transplant, there was a song that kept coming up in my spirit, just kept rising up. And don't get nervous, I'm not going to sing it for you. It's all good. But the song says, someday, someday I'll be free. It said, I'll be free from heartache. No more sickness will there be. in that someday I'll be free. And I can remember sitting in that hospital feeling discouraged about my situation. And that song would come to mind someday. That song reminded me that my heartache and my sickness was temporary. That a day is coming. Can I tell you what you're going through right now is temporary. A day is coming where God will have accomplished what he wanted to accomplish in your life. Your situation is temporary. So I sang this song. Now in Ephesians, Paul gives us three options, and then I'll be done for the day. He gives us three options. First, he says we ought to sing a psalm. Yeah. Go to the book of Psalms. Sing one of the psalms. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you have a need that needs to be met, you can sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for anything. You have some adversaries that are fighting against you. You can sing Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when you just want to praise him, just want to sing something encouraging to him, you can sing Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Paul said, just sing one of the psalms. Open up the book and sing a song. Then he said, okay, if you don't want to sing a song, then you ought to sing a hymn. Sing a hymn. And Lord knows the church has produced some great hymns. And you ought to find some hymns to sing. We have hymns like Great Is Thou Faithfulness. Hymns like How Great Thou Art. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It Is Well With My Soul. Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine. Sing one of those songs and it'll help you get through. If you can't find a Psalm of David, sing one of the hymns that the church has produced. Then he said, spiritual songs. You have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs are songs that rise up out of your spirit. They're psalms that are created in difficult times where what David wrote is not enough, where what the hymnologist wrote is not enough. You have to write your own song. Don't you know there's sometimes that somebody else's lyrics are not enough? Sometimes you have to write your own song to God. Sometimes you have to sing your own song to God. And the good thing is, you don't have to know how to sing. You don't have to be in tune. All you have to do is open up your mouth and whatever comes up, let it come out, because that's between you and God. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. A new song. Sing a song that comes out of your spirit. Let me tell you, the devil don't want us to sing. He don't want us to sing. He wants us to sit and be miserable. But I dare somebody, I remember my grandmother used to go through the house and she would just sing. Sometimes I knew what she was singing and sometimes I didn't know what she was singing. And I didn't understand that until I got older and found myself in the situation and I'm walking around my house singing songs and washing dishes, and all of a sudden my spirit is lifted and encouraged. Sing a song. You may never win a Grammy, but sing it anyway. Sing a song unto the Lord. We may never sing it here at church, but sing a song to the Lord your God. Encourage yourself with singing. Rehearse the promise of God. Remind yourself of what he's already done and sing a song to him. Now that's my strategy. You may have some other things that you do to encourage yourself in the Lord, but I want to encourage you today, as much as it is nice to be supported by people, don't allow your emotional and spiritual health depend upon whether or not somebody else has something nice to say to you. Don't let your day be ruined because the one person you called that usually encourages you, they're not available to encourage you today. And so now you're not encouraged. I'm trying to help somebody today. Don't be so dependent. Listen, it's good to have somebody to pray with you, but sometimes your prayer partner is not going to be available. It's good to listen to Christian music, but sometimes those songs are not hitting the spot. When you get to that place, sing your own song to the Lord. Don't get mad because the preacher didn't encourage you. The praise team didn't sing the right song. The greeter was mean to you when you came in here, and now you're discouraged. Encourage yourself. Hallelujah. God has made us to be strong soldiers. You know what? They used to say that you are crazy if you talk to yourself. That's what they say. Here's what I say. You got to talk to yourself to keep from going crazy. Am I in the right house this morning? Sometimes you got to talk to your own soul. Sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, wash your face, brush your teeth, get your clothes on, put a smile on your face. God is with you. You're going to get through this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. On your way to work, you got to talk to yourself. Now, when you go in there, have a good attitude. Don't be mean and nasty. Don't be depressed. Nobody wants to hear your sad song. Wipe your face and get in there and make great happen. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You look good to me. I don't care what they say. You look good to me, and God is with you, and you're going to make it. You cannot let your emotional health depend on somebody else. If nobody else has something good to say to you, say something good to yourself. If nobody else has your back, have your own back. If nobody else believes in what you are doing, you believe in it. Hallelujah. If nobody else has anything positive to say, talk to yourself until you feel better. Hallelujah. Rehearse the promises of God. Remind yourself of his promises. Go down memory lane. Take a drive around the neighborhood and remember what you used to be before God touched you and before he saved you. And if you can't find a song in Psalms, if one of the hymns don't make it for you, sing your own song. Stand to your feet, please. The Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then after he encouraged himself, the Bible says he prayed. Can I tell you? Discouragement will keep you from praying. I want you to understand something. That the adversary's plan is to keep you discouraged. Because when you are discouraged, you say, what's the point of praying? God's not listening. God forgot me. He left me here by myself. But David encouraged himself. Then he prayed. And he asked God, what shall I do? Shall I pursue this adversary? What am I going to do, God? You see, we've lost everything. We're going to be destroyed. We lost our homes. We lost our wives. We lost our children. What do you want me to do? God said, pursue, and you shall recover all. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. David got himself together, got them men together, and they went and they got back everything that the adversary had taken from them. Let me tell you, you cannot afford to sit in discouragement. Hear what I'm saying. Discouragement will rob you from your next victory. Hear what I'm saying. Discouragement will keep you sitting in the seat of the sorrowful. Now listen, we can be real here. Sometimes things are tough, but you, the Bible says, and Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. What does that mean? You can be going through trouble, but not be troubled. Hear what I'm saying. You can face things that that cause you difficulty, but you can still have peace and confidence in God. That's how you make it. That's how you endure. That's how you go through. I tell you, I said it before, I'll say it again. I don't have a strategy for what's going to happen tomorrow. But I have a strategy to make sure that I'm always encouraged. David would have never heard from the Lord. Somebody needs to hear this. You need to hear this morning. You cannot hear from God discouraged. He encouraged himself first, and then he prayed. Hear what I'm saying? You got to read the text. He encouraged himself first, did what he had to do to go to God in confidence. If you're going to pray, if you're going to seek God, listen, we go to God as sons. We are not beggars. We are sons of God. We have access to the Father. Hallelujah. He has given us the ability to, what does he say? Come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. You can come boldly. God, I need your help. I'm going through it. He said, you have a standing invitation to get help. If you need help from the Lord, open up your mouth and say, God, I need help. And he promises to help us. Listen, we're making up our minds. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to pray. But our job is to encourage each other. Did y'all hear what I said? Our responsibility, it is a holy mandate, a sacred charge that God has given us as members of the family of God to encourage each other and to build each other up. We ought to take that seriously. But at the same time, if nobody else encourages you, you have to encourage yourself. And here's the thing, and it's sometimes, it's not even that people have turned their back on you. Sometimes they mean well, but their words are just not enough. Am I in the right house this morning? So sometimes there's nothing another human being can tell you that will encourage you. So you got to sing to God. You got to talk to God. You have to remind yourself of what God has done, what he promised, and sing your song to God. Would you grab each other's hand as we pray? I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you are facing in your life. I don't know the challenges that are confronting you this morning. But I do know that God has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Hallelujah to God. I do know that God has a plan for whatever it is you're going through this morning. Hallelujah. And his will is good. It is perfect. It is pleasing. And he says it all is working together for the good. That part, that painful place, that situation that you can't get away from, God said, that's working, hallelujah, for your good, all of it. Let us pray.